It all started as I was lying awake in bed a couple of weeks ago, and I was thinking about the decline in our numbers, how small we've got. And then in my mind's eye, I saw a green wine bottle with just a little drop left in the bottom. And I thought, no, we're not the dregs. We are new wine. We're good wine, not something that tastes bad. And then when I got up in the morning, I picked my Bible up and I opened it up, and it opens up to Joel, chapter 2. And I started to read it, and I thought, I couldn't make it happen. It's got to be God. It's got to be God. So I'm going to read some of that scripture to you. Says, the Lord replied to them, I am sending you grain, new wine and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. I will drive the northern armies far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land, and with its front columns going into the eastern sea, and those in the rear into the western sea, and its stench will go up and its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Do not be afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green. Hear it. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust, the young locust, the other locust, and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent amongst you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be ashamed. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire, and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, amongst his survivors who the Lord calls. And then just a few more verses here. We don't usually do all this Bible reading, but we are today. Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. In that day, the mountains will drip new wine. The hills will flow with milk, and the ravines of Judah will run with water. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valleys of Acacia. But Egypt will be desolate, Edom and a desert waste, because of the violence done to the people of Judah, in whose land they shed innocent blood. Anyway, we'll miss that end bit, but see, I read that and it's got such promise for us. I really believe that that was what God is saying to us as a fellowship, that the harvest is ripe, that he is doing new things. And after I'd said that, Andrew started to preach, and I sat down there and I looked up, and you can't see it today because it's not there, but as I looked up, there was a reflection on the ceiling there, which was shining through the window onto the ceiling, and there was obviously a pool of water the other side on this flat roof here, and the sun was shining on it and reflecting it into here. And I looked at it and I thought, well, what are you saying? And I felt like he was saying, just as that reflection is a reflection of something that you can't see, but it's there, so my word, Joel, is a reflection of what is to come for us. Haven't done this for 20 years, so we need to see God move in power in our midst as we come to seek him. We need to stand before him with great expectations. Come before him with gladness and joy in our hearts, not just because it's what we do on a Sunday. Before we start our worship, we should stop and ask the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts. Let us remember why we have come together. Just reflect. Let us determine that we will give to God from our hearts, and let us be still before him. If we stand together with one heart, expecting him to manifest in our midst, then he will. Let us be responsible for our own attitudes and the offerings we bring with us, and get our hearts in the right place. Having a faith-filled heart, that God who promised is faithful to be in our midst and minister to each and every one of his children. Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let us look into his lovely face, for his face is truly beautiful and radiates to us his love, his grace, and compassion for us. If we gaze upon him, we will know him. We will know his heart towards us. God is the ultimate giver. It delights him. It makes him glad to give to us the new wine which he has prepared for us. His joy in giving to us is inexpressible beyond our comprehension. Our sacrifice of worship is to delight in him. Feel good as we delve, even dive into the rivers of his delights. He wants us to know that what thrills his heart is to hold our hearts next to his and love on us and know that we know, sense and feel his undying love and passion for us. Jesus' first miracle was at the wedding in Cana, where he turned the water into wine. The first thing we read is that the hosts had run out of wine and were mega embarrassed because there was nothing they themselves could do about it. They would be the talk of the town for a long time to come. But if they had not come to the end of what they had, there would have been no miracle. We need to come to the end of ourselves, don't we, and stop trying. It feels like we have almost come to the end of our new wine. Not this fellowship, but you know what I mean. And that is good, because there's nothing we can do to fill that void. Mary said, whatever he tells you, do it. We need to be attentive. We need to be listening to him. He delights in us listening to him. He delights to talk to us. He delights to minister to us. So let us be more open to the Spirit and earnestly listen to him. Let us be moved to risk our pride. That would be in case we get it wrong. I'm good at that. Probably why I can stand up here and read this morning, because the times I've got it wrong and the times I felt insecure and not able. And throw ourselves into the power of his presence. He speaks to each of us. He knows all our needs, longings and desires. Put your trust in him and no longer in your well-worn out failures. Expectancy is faith. If we seek him and expect, then we will see his power manifest. We need to seek the promises and believe. We know these promises, don't we? We know the promises of the word. We've just got to believe them. It never lied, ever. If we want the new wine to be poured out in our midst, we must seek the promise, whose name is Jesus, and seek his promises and believe them. See his open hands full of all you need and you desire. Let's look, straight seek, for a new season of fresh grapes and expect to see power in our midst. Let's expect it. Have we burst our old wineskins and the precious wine has run away? We need to ask the Lord for new wineskins. So as he pours fresh wine of truth and promise and his power into us, it doesn't run away. And so we are not left empty. It is there, we just can't see it. That's what we need, new wineskins that won't burst as he pours into us the new wine of his kingdom, his life within us, his power expanding within us, growing as it matures, bringing with it joy, praise, miracles, and new life. Let us hold onto his truth with confidence and expectancy. God has planted a vineyard for himself so that he may harvest the grapes for his honour and glory. The new wine can only bring him honour and glory. The new wine brings salvation. So let us walk by faith and not by sight. There's a new season of fresh grapes ready for harvesting, for new wine. We need new wineskins to put it in. Look for it coming like a bride waiting for the groom. You know he's coming, so get yourself ready. Feel the burn, the excitement, the thrill of the expectation. It's coming. He said, it's coming. Like a virgin bride, inexperienced in knowledge, but with great expectation. Let us be like that. Joel says, be not afraid, O land, be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Open pastures are becoming green, trees are bearing fruit, the fig and the vineyard, the vine yield their riches. That's us. What looks devastated, lost and dead is springing into life. It is the autumn and the spring rains. A deluge of living water is what he is going to pour into us. A deluge, not a trickle, not a watering can full, not a garden hose, but a deluge of living waters. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. And when you come to the end of yourself, that's when it happens. That's when the Holy Spirit happens, when we come to the end of ourselves. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, that there is no other. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I will pour out my Spirit on you, on me. It's glorious. It will be glorious. It is glorious beyond all expectations. Blood, fire, and billows of smoke are signs of God's presence. We want to see you, Lord. We want to experience you. We want him. Knowing that we are not able, but desiring with our whole heart, looking into the distance with great expectation, seeing the cloud as small as a man's hand, and becoming uncontrollably excited. You can. You can become uncontrollably excited this morning. In that day, the mountains will drip with new wine. Just reading that, the mountains will drip with new wine. How much new wine is that? It's not, you know, a few bottles here satisfy everyone. The mountains will drip with new wine. The hills will run with milk. Ravines will run with water. Whatever anybody needs. And abundance. Upon abundance, upon abundance, upon abundance. That's what our God has got for us. That's what our God is pouring out into this earth right now, in this day of darkness, because the darker it gets, the lighter he gets. The lighter he shines. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valleys of acacias. Acacias only flourish in a desert, in dry soil, in drought. But this is a picture of a well-watered desert. Fountains flowing in his presence, streams of blessings will refresh his people and make their place endlessly fruitful. He knows our helplessness. So, let the weak say, what?
I'm strong.
Thank you. Let the poor say, I am
rich.
Let the blind say,
I can see.
what the Lord has done for me. It didn't sound very good. It didn't sound very enthusiastic. Let the weak say, I am strong. Oh. I'll say it. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see what the Lord has done in me. See what he's done in you. That's what it says. What the Lord has done in me. See what he's done. So we come empty-handed before him. Good place to be. Best place. Empty-handed. Come to his love and the fact that we are his prize. Do you know who you are? Do you know how loved you are? Do you know how prized you are by the King of all kings? His faithfulness to us is the truth, is the promise. It's the truth of the issue. It is there. It is there. It is here. Not there, it's here in our midst. It may be hidden from our eyes, but the fact is, it's here. He is here. The Spirit of God is here. What he says is, come and seek, and you will find. When Andrew was preaching the other week, he talked about Lot's wife. Just a little bit, didn't you? And said she was told not to look back. She did and was turned to stone. That really spoke to me about not looking back. Not looking back on our failures. Not looking back on where we've come from. But looking into his lovely face. Looking into his delights for us. Looking into his promises for us. Because he loves us without measure. He wants the best for us. He wants those promises to manifest amongst us. He wants to see those who are sick healed. He wants to see the things, the people that don't understand things. He wants to see that blindness gone. So they can see the truth of him, who he is, what he is, what he's got, and who we are to him. So, from now on, we look forward. Mm-hmm. We don't look back. When you go into your garden in the springtime, you're looking. Where's that first crocus? Where's that little snowdrop coming? Look. See the little green shoot. And you go, keep going back, don't you? Keep going back, looking, looking, looking. And when that first snowdrop comes out, what delight. How delighted you are. But you know that that snowdrop's in the ground. Else why would you go over there and look? You wouldn't. You wouldn't look. But you know that it's there. You know that it's coming. We know this morning that the promise of God for the new wine is here. Mm. Keep looking. Keep seeking. Don't give up. Because you know what? If you don't go out and look for that snowdrop, it's going to come up anyway. But I want to take delight and great pleasure in it. I want to take delight and great pleasure and experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this place, in my life, in my family, in my friends' lives. So, are we going to taste the new wine? You're not going to sing it. But what I would like to do, this is why it's a bit different, is could all just move apart a little bit from each other. Not a lot, just so that you're just on your own a little bit with the Lord. You're not sitting holding hands with someone. And what we're going to do...